Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
We finally know who the Seahawks chose at pick number 16. No, they didn't trade back. Y'all saw it. They took Byron Murphy II, defensive lineman out of Texas. You got analysis from Michael Bumpus last night during the Seattle Sports Draft Show, but we're going to have even more today because you got 4 hours with us, and then Curtis and I are sticking around. We're going to bring on Brady Henderson, who's live from Seahawks headquarters. So let's get to the pick.
With the 16th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
Now, Bump, at this point, every single defensive player outside of Leiatu Latu, who you did like, was available. So was Troy Fautanu, who had been frequently mocked to Seattle. What was your gut reaction, immediate reaction to this pick last night?
I just knew they were going to go with Troy. I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for Troy Fautanu to pop up on the screen, and then they go with Byron Murphy. And at first, I was a bit shocked, but then after the shock wore off, I'm like, all right, well, I understand. It wasn't shock like, what are they doing? I can't believe they're doing this. It was just, I think they're going to address the offensive line. So after I calmed down a bit, it took about 5 to 10 seconds, I go, yeah, makes sense to me. Leonard Williams is there. Jay Reed is there. Now you have Byron Murphy. You team him up with Cameron Young. You see how he will develop. Then you start to look at who the head coach is. He is a defensive guy. He has to make sure that the trenches are solidified. And what I see yesterday or the day before, either side of the ball, offensive line, defensive line, as long as it's in the trenches, I'm okay with whatever they do. They did exactly that. The fact that they were able to get Byron Murphy at number 16, and he was only the second defensive player taken off the board, lets you know that they probably got their guy, or they did get their guy, because Troy and Byron were available. So good for them. I feel really confident about this guy because they feel confident about him. And everything I see on film lets you know that he's a ball player, understands his position, doesn't mind taking on double teams, quick with the hands. It makes complete sense. I love the pick.
If you're wondering what that pick sound like for Byron Murphy, here's the draft call.
Hey, is this Byron?
Yes, sir.
Byron, this is John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. Hey, we don't care what your agent says about you, man. We think you're a hell of a football player. We're going to select you right here, okay, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. Come be a Seahawk, man. Hey, here's our head coach. Here's our head coach, Mike McDonald, okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, congratulations. Can't wait to see you, bud.
Can't wait to see you too, Kyle.
Byron.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
Give it over Byron, man. Much. The place is going crazy, brother. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You excited?
Thank you. No, I'm very excited. I'm ready to get to work. Hey.
Byron Murphy had never been to Seattle. Reporters asked him what he heard about the city during his interview with them, and he said, I know it rains a lot, to which everyone started laughing. But then he was asked, hey, I heard you're a Seahawks fan. How'd that ever happen? You're out there in Texas. Like, what's going on there? And he said, well, when I was younger, and this will make you feel 95 years old, when I was a kid, I watched the Seahawks win Super Bowl 48. Because in 2013, Byron Murphy was indeed a child. Mm-hmm. And so when he was younger, he watched this defense. He fell in love with that defense. And this is how I know Byron is for real a Seahawks fan. He started name dropping, not just those big names on the Legion of Boom. Yeah, he said Earl. He mentioned Richard. Then he goes, and you know, you got Doug Baldwin. You got Jermaine Kearse. I was like, oh, wow. No, he is a Seahawks fan.
That's for real.
So welcome to Seattle, Byron. A nice full circle moment for him, even though he hasn't been to the Emerald City.
Yeah, good for Byron. It's crazy how things work out. Growing up, I had a team that I used to watch the Niners all the time growing up, right? Everyone in my community back home were 49ers fans, and my very first game I got to play in the NFL was against the 49ers. So I had a moment like, dang, that's I'm playing against
what
a team that
odds?
I grew up watching. And that I would assume that's at a higher level, being drafted number 16 overall, that's something like he experienced. So life has a funny way of sorting things out for you. But also what was interesting to me with that call is that's Mike McDonald's first ever time talking to a draft pick. You can tell, like, all right,
hey,
so what do we say?
Buddy.
All right, you good? All right, see you in a minute. All right, take care now.
It's me talking to actual children. Like, you just something where you don't have practice and you go, so, hey, what do you do?
You like coloring books, huh?
Yeah, that's cool. I thought at this point, and I'm curious as to whether you did, Seahawks are on the board. It's pick number 16. We have seen a run of 14 offensive players and one defensive player, Leiatu Latu. Dallas Turner is still available. all the cornerbacks are still available, and one of the best remaining offensive linemen is still available. I wondered if they would trade back and if they would assume that that trend would stick and that, hey, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, we can still get Byron or we could still get Fautanu later. And by the way, the Steelers ended up taking Fautanu later. Like, that could have been an opportunity for them, but they didn't. Why?
I'd be lying to you if I said, we didn't think about it, but the player was, he was just too good. You know, he influences the game like a lot.
Would you have stayed put?
Yeah, I would have stayed put. Again, we saw six quarterbacks go. And once we saw the quarterbacks go, then all these offensive guys going, in my head, I'm thinking they're going to get exactly who they want. We know they were not in the market for a quarterback, at least not seriously. Maybe if Michael Penix was there, they would take a look at him. There were rumors going around that the Saints and the Raiders and the Seahawks all tried to move up to grab Michael Penix. So that wasn't going to happen. But no, I thought they were going to stay put, and I thought they should because of those two names that were still left on the board. I go, look, you can get your offensive lineman or your defensive lineman stay put, and that's exactly what they did. And I'm glad that they did because I think that Byron Murphy is going to cause chaos mm-hmm. in that box, and that is exactly what you need. This team was one of the worst against the run last year. You have to address that. Byron Murphy is going to help you out.
John Schneider said they had four opportunities to move, but Murphy remained the best defensive player on their board, so they didn't want to. He also had a comp that Seahawks fans are really going to like.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Aaron Donald, but he tested like that. He's got that compact style about him, but he can slow down, Johnny. He's a Hall of Famer. I get it. You're asking for the body type. You know what I mean? Like, getting off the ball and, all his statistics we have now, all this analytic stuff, like his explosive rate, like he gets to the quarterback quicker than anybody. So he's got like that ability to jump off the ball and get upfield, and he can play edges, he can play square. You know, he can rush the passer inside, he gets up and down line of scrimmage. The body type comparison, obviously Aaron Donald's a phenomenal.
John Schneider saying, look, I'm not being insane. I'm not saying that we have absolutely drafted a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, but they have similar body types. Both were critiqued for being a little bit undersized. They've got explosiveness. Do you see that comp?
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to body type, when it comes to explosiveness, and then really just the hands. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen video of Aaron Donald training with like knives or something like that, just doing all this,
like
this martial arts type stuff. Him and Brittany, same camp. I'm sure you've seen that. When I watch Byron Murphy play, I imagine him having some knives in his hand just slicing dudes up because that's how quick his hands are, man. He understands leverage. He understands the flow of the offensive line. He can anticipate what these offensive linemen are trying to do. He's a savvy football player, as savvy as you can get in the trenches where there's a lot of things happening within close quarters. Right? When you are safety, you see the game differently. Everything's in front of you. You have the panoramic view of what's going on. When you are a defensive lineman in the box, you got the portrait. It is right there, and you kind of got to feel what's going on to your left and your right, and based off of what the offensive linemen are doing, anticipate some things. He does exactly that. He's great at what he does. I think they said, look, the type of player he is comparable to what they wanted Puna to be, right? Puna was compact, but Puna, love my guy Puna. I'm not hating on Puna. Puna was just a bit more fluffy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Byron Murphy is solid as a rock. This dude is explosive. So you're at that position, it's okay to be a bit shorter because you're going to get some leverage, get under the pads mm-hmm. of these offensive linemen. But if you can pick a guy like Byron Murphy, who is compact but not as fluffy, rock solid, getting comps to Aaron Donald, good for you. Not saying he's going to be all that, but wouldn't it be nice for these guys to finally find a defensive lineman that they signed to a second contract?
It would be nice for these guys to finally take a big step forward in the trenches. The thing is, we kind of assumed it would be on the other side of the ball in terms of pick number 16. I'm not mad that they took a defensive lineman, but they don't have an immediate need there. They've got Leonard Williams. They've got Dre Jones. They've got Jaron Reed. They've got some depth pieces there. When you were looking at the pick of Byron Murphy and kind of thinking, like, look, there's still big question marks with the interior of the offensive line, you sacrifice that to take this guy. What do you think, if you're putting yourself in the mind of John Schneider, makes that worth it? Like, you know what? I'm going to pass on this offensive line because, like, even though I don't have an immediate need, the depth that I can add here. Is it a depth thing? Like, what do you see?
I think they brought in some pieces on that offensive line with some veterans, and are going to allow those guys to compete. I still think they pick up an offensive lineman in this draft.
Yeah,
I think they looked at this situation and said, where do we need the most help? Me personally, I was on the other side. I'm thinking, all right, let's bolster up this offense right now with this number 16 pick because these guys are going to lead the charge. They flipped it and looked at it differently. Said, what needs to improve right now? It is stopping the run and getting to the quarterback, and Byron Murphy is going to help you do that. So I think they're looking at the offense and saying, all right, we can wait on that. We can wait till day two, round two, three, four, five, whatever, because we have enough there, and they probably believe in the veterans that they brought in. This guy, Byron Murphy, is going to be in the rotation right now. And that's the thing about defensive linemen, too, is they don't have to play every single snap. You bring in a rookie offensive lineman to Troy Faltown mm-hmm. and you move him to guard, you're going to expect him to play every snap. You're going to need him to play every snap. That's not the case with Byron Murphy. He can ease his way in there. But offensive linemen, you don't want to have that rotation going. You don't want – and remember last year there was at some point we were praising them for their rotation. Like, man, this offensive line is playing so well, and they're rotating all these guys in. Then we get later on the season, we're like, it's
coping.
The rotation.
It was coping.
They're messing everything up. There's no cohesion with this offensive line. So defense line is a bit different. You can rotate guys in and have them develop.
From the 720. By the way, let us know how you guys feel about this pick. You can join our conversation on the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I will have you know, though, in less than an hour, we're opening up phone lines, and your question is going to be, what should the Seahawks do next? So that number is going to be the same one, 866-979-3776. We're looking ahead at 11. Before we get to it, though, a reaction to last night. This one from someone in Colorado, a listener saying, no way. Should have traded back to take Chop Robinson and picked up a second rounder and a fifth rounder. They still don't have a second rounder. They're not mm-hmm. on the board until, I think, 88. That's not fun. That's going to be a long second round to sit through until you get to the third round. But how do you feel about taking Byron where they took him? I mean, maybe they could have taken him later, but do you look at him the way John Schneider did? Is like, this is too good a talent to pass.
Yeah, 100% with you. The last few years, you've had the number 5 pick, the number 9 pick, number 20, and now you got number 16. When's the last time the Hawks have had an opportunity like this to pick 4 picks in the last couple years in the top 20? They just don't come around often, and at least not for this organization, because they typically win enough games to where they're in the back end of the first round. So I think they jumped at an opportunity. This is something that they've been able to do the last couple years, whether it be trades or just the year that they had. So, nah, I'm completely fine with this. I think you had to pick at 16. You don't let this opportunity go by, because mm-hmm. there's enough talent on this team to where you could see them winning 9-10 games. I can see it. 9-10, maybe even 11. We shall see. But I like the pick. McDonald said, look, we got to address the defense. And there were so many rumors going around. There's a rumor floating around that they were going to pick a corner.
I thought they might, and I got scared.
If they picked a corner.
It was like 10 minutes before the draft mm-hmm. started. You started yeah. hearing rumors.
Nah, yeah, and that would have been the only pick that would have left me scratching my head. Like, what are we doing here?
Right. Let's figure out. I played some sound from you guys on John Schneider. Your new head coach, Mike McDonald, talking about the importance of depth on this defensive line.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that was a driving, you know, force behind the decision. It's just an opportunity to add an awesome guy and a great player. So, but absolutely. I mean, you know, in 2 minutes, you're going to want to have guys fresh and ready to rock, and then, you know, it's not a short season. You know, you need guys that can get after it in the trenches for sure.
So. One of the most underrated things about the Legion of Boom defense in general was the defensive line in that front seven they had. Everyone's eyes are on that secondary, as it should be. You've got a future Hall of Famer. You've got all pros. You've got Pro Bowlers there. But the depth and rotation along that defensive line was a huge piece to that team, that Super Bowl team that we don't talk about nearly enough. From the 206, Stacey, what was the worst side of the ball last year, offense or defense? You couldn't stop the run. This guy's a game wrecker. Oh, I completely agree. If you were to ask me, just single answer, what was the worst thing this team did last year, I would start with defense, and I would specifically say run defense. And that does help a lot. We all, collectively, royal we, thought that the Seahawks would address the offensive line because there's so little depth on the interior right now. You've got a fourth-round rookie you may start with Anthony Bradford. You've got a free agent center that you signed, Nick Harris, who has, I think, 4 combined starts or 3 starts over 4 seasons. behind him, you've got a guy you drafted last year who wasn't your starter because Evan Brown was your starter. And on the other side of him, if you have Ankrum starting, he's got one start over the last several years. So you've got very, very little experience on the inside of your offensive line. It is a huge question mark for me. It's why I thought they might address it. It's not because I think it is singularly the biggest issue.
No, you need depth. There's no one backing up Lincoln Tomlinson right now. And again, that's why I think that they're going to find somebody in this draft. But that's what they felt was most important to them. And whether they went offense with Troy or someone on the offensive line, that would have made sense. Defense, defensive line with Byron Murphy. It all makes sense. Stay away from the little guys. You didn't need a corner. You did not need a safety. You could have entertained a quarterback if Michael Penix was there. That situation is weird. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, my overall, good day for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they walked out of VMAC feeling really good about their pick. And once they saw just the amount of offensive players being taken off the board, yep, they had to have felt good about their chances to get Byron Murphy.
Did I say I didn't want a defensive player?
No, I never said that.
I'm seeing a couple texts come in. I just want to make it clear that I didn't say that. Nah. Me setting Bump up to answer a question is not me saying my opinion. No. I just want to make that very clear. It's like when you see a postgame interview and they go, what happened out there? We all know what happened. We're asking to get the answer. I think it was a really good pick. I tend to get distracted by shiny toys. And so I saw Dallas Turner and I was like, ooh, man, what if you got an edge rusher? It is not your biggest need, but imagine that you get this high value position at pick number 16, because an edge rusher is one of the most valuable positions you could get. If you get a really, really great guy in a rookie deal, you are saving millions of dollars a season. I'm also not mad at the decision to go with the trenches. I'm not mad at this decision to eat your vegetables and to do what you needed to do rather than go for this slice of pizza.
Pizza's good.
Pizza's really good.
But it ain't good for you.
Yeah, but it can be. I mean, it's got, when you think about it, protein.
It's delicious.
You know what I'm saying? Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, the stunner of the first round was Michael Penix going to Atlanta at pick number 8. James Palmer, formerly of the NFL Network, reports that the Seahawks, Raiders, and Saints were all trying to trade into the top 10 to draft Penix. What's the real headline?
Was that report coming from an Atlanta area code?
That's trying to sell the Panthers.
It's exactly what it is. It's like, hey, I just want you guys to know lots of other people wanted this guy too. It wasn't just us. Look, I love Michael Penix Jr. as a player, as a person. I want nothing but the best for him. It is a very strange pick to me for a team that was one of the worst in their pass rush. One of the worst pass rushing teams in the league, with Dallas Turner and at the time Leatu Latu available, decided to pass on getting an edge rusher and instead drafted a quarterback when they're paying $100 million to a quarterback they have right now. And Michael Penix, if he doesn't start for 2 years, is going to be 26 when he finally is under center for Atlanta. I love that he was a top 10 pick as a Husky. I don't really get what Atlanta's doing, though.
No, that tells me that they don't believe in Kirk Cousins, or maybe he's not as healthy as we might think he is. 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. There's no trade clause in this thing either. So even if they don't like what Kirk Cousins is doing, they're going to end up just sitting him and holding on to him, because if they get rid of him after the first year, it's going to hit him for $40 million when it comes to dead money. If they wait until 2025, then it bumps down to 12.5. So what they're doing is they're setting themselves up. I think that at the time, Kirk Cousins was their guy. Maybe they got some reports back from a doctor or two, and they don't believe in his Achilles anymore. Who knows? But this is a weird situation. You got an older quarterback. If he does sit for 3 or 4 years, he's going to be damn near 30 by the time he gets a start. This is interesting. Kirk Cousins, I hear, well, word on the street is he was not happy about this, nor should he be.
Nor should he be, but also, Kirk, okay. Deal with it, bro. Like, I don't know. I would also be annoyed, but, like, you got your money.
Yeah.
This is going to be your chance.
It's deeper than that. It's about showing commitment. And they probably promised him the world, obviously, with $180 mil, $100 million guarantee. And he was a little blindsided, but that's business. This is the NFL. Things change quickly. So there's something about Kirk that they don't trust right now.
How soon do you think there could be a quarterback controversy?
After the first year. After this year, Penix is going to sit, unless if Kirk can stay healthy. But going into 2025, where that dead hit goes down to 12 mil, it's going to be a controversy.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Mariners. With a 4-3 win yesterday, they won their third straight series, this time over the Rangers. What's the real headline?
We're so back. We're so back. I don't care what anyone says. World Series, it's happening. No,
eight of 11?
It is very, very cool to see the last week and a half, 2 weeks, particularly the last three series from this team, considering the way that they started. You don't want to lean into either side. You don't want to look at the first week and a half of the season and go, oh, God, everyone's washed. This is so bad. The pitching's a problem. Because none of that was true, but there were real concerns. Likewise, you don't want to look at this version of the team and go, everything is fixed. But there are real positives to take from it.
Yeah, you got Julio and Ty France finally hitting their first bombs of the year. Cal continues to swing and connect with some power. You get quality starts from the guys on the mound. I mean, we've seen everything that we need to see. Now it's about putting it all together consistently. This was a big series win for the Mariners, man. We know before this series, 0-8 in Arlington over the past year and some change. Mentally, this is going to help them out. I think the Mariners are trending in the right direction, man. Keep putting these games together.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, the Kraken announced yesterday that they will be moving their games to King 5 and Amazon Prime starting next season. What's the real headline?
Actually allowing your fans the chance to watch your product? What a novel concept.
Easy.
Innovative.
Easy. I mean, congratulations. I hope more people watch next year than this year. There are more people at Climate Pledge watching the game live than at home. So maybe with the access being a bit easier to watch these games, you'll get more support. But that's what it's all about. Allow the community a chance to support, especially a newer team like the Kraken. With the Mariners, I mean, you got a history here. You've been here for a while. People are going to find ways to watch the game. They will download the app and do what they have to do. With the Kraken, you're still trying to get some buy-in. Yeah. You had a good season last year. You slumped this year. You got to find ways to get people excited about them once again, and I think this is a move in the right direction.
206, going back to Penix. Dang near 30. He's not even 24. Don't coug it, Bump, first of all.
What does that even mean?
Well, I think it's just a way that Huskies,
I know, like myself, take shots. I know what it means, but like,
but also, I do want to make clear, you can simultaneously think Michael Penix is a baller and was wildly underrated heading into this class. Recognize that 23 turning 24 is very young in real life, and that there are rookie quarterbacks that are 21 when they start for their teams. Mm-hmm. That's three quarters of a contract, that difference in years. Like, I know that it seems silly. It sounds so stupid to say that being 24 as a rookie or 26 the first time you hit the field is old, when in real life that's young. But in NFL years, even for a quarterback, that's a full contract eliminated.
24 in May, 3 years, 27, damn near 40. You round up, round to the nearest 10, damn near 40.
30,
sorry.
30. No, you said 30. You said 30 the first time.
I'm damn near 40. I'm sorry.
I think that it is a fair critique. Yeah. And it doesn't mean he won't be great, but there's not a great track record of older quarterbacks when they're rookies or when they get their first start or, you know, when they start out their careers finding success. Normally, it's because those much older quarterbacks, there's a positive correlation between them not being consistently great in college, and it's why it took so long for them to build up that resume, or why prior to NIL deals, they were staying there for 5 years. So that's watering down the pool, right? Michael Penix just couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
But that age is a real concern for teams. It is. I think it is a fair point to bring up that he might be 26 when he becomes a full-time starter for Atlanta, and that that is out of the norm.
Well, the plus side is he gets to learn, and Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, you know. So sit and learn, and we shall see.
Coming up at 11, what do you want to see the Seahawks do next? That number to call is going to be 866-979-3776. Before we get to it, let's talk about Michael Penix making sense of this pick of him going to the Falcons. Don't go anywhere.
Planning to go to more than one Mariners game this season? Consider a Mariners Flex membership. You can choose your games and seats as you go all season long. Plus, save at least 10% on tickets and pay no fees. Come on board today at mariners.com/flex.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
From the 360, I'd love for the Seahawks to take a tight end next. Well, go ahead and call in and tell us why. Along with the rest of you guys, what do you want to see the Seahawks do next? That's coming up at 11. That number to call is 866-979-3776. Coming up at 10:45, the biggest stories from the draft, not named Michael Penix. But let's talk about Michael Penix first. He went at number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons in a pick that surprised most people around the NFL, me included. Here's the announcement.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback of Washington.
Shocking, absolutely shocking. For a lot of reasons, Bump, you liked Michael Penix heading into this class and actually thought he should be drafted a lot higher than he was mocked, which was as late as the 2nd round. Why did you like him so much? And also, were you still surprised he went as high as he did?
I was surprised he went as high as he did because you were just trying to fill out all the information we're getting. This team likes this guy. This team likes that guy. You take it with a grain of salt because you never really know what's going on. Him going to Atlanta was a complete shocker to me. When Atlanta signed Kirk Cousins, you're thinking they got their guy for the next 3 to 4 years. You got weapons over there. You got Drake London. You got Bijan Robinson. You got Kyle Pitts. You got a squad over there. Let's see what they do with Kirk Cousins. And the Atlanta Falcons wouldn't have signed Kirk Cousins to the deal that they did unless they believed he was 100% healthy. Mm-hmm. So now we got to dig in deeper and say, what exactly is Atlanta doing with this pick? Honestly, I don't mind Michael Penix sitting for a year or two and learning. Me personally, if I'm a GM, if I have the time to do so, I want to draft a quarterback, let him sit behind a veteran for a year or two and watch him develop. The thing that kind of throws people off is they look at his age and say, well, he's going to be 26, 27 if and when he does get a chance. I'm going back and forth with Paul Moyer on text lines, and we're essentially on the same page saying, look, quarterbacks don't really reach their prime until their late 20s, early 30s anyway, and these guys are playing until their 40s if they're lucky. That's just the timeline for a quarterback is different. So what they're saying is there's no rush. We already have the follow-up when it comes to Kirk Cousins. They are preparing for Y2K. Remember Y2K?
Do I remember?
Remember Y2K?
I was a child, but I remember that the world was supposed to end.
Right, and like for 2 years in elementary school, in middle school, we're talking about
it started like
Y2K.
That. I didn't remember that. I remembered it
we were
being
too
like,
young. You were a baby.
Oh, well, no, we were around the same age, but I don't remember it being 2 years before.
Yeah, well, you know, y'all behind, and Cali's a bit different, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I was watching mostly
cartoons. But, you know, we're talking and we're preparing for it, and we're going to see what's going to happen. That's all they're doing. They are preparing. They are getting a head start on the natural disaster, which is quarterbacks going down in the NFL. And it made people scratch their head a bit because you felt like there were other places that they needed to address, which you mentioned their defense last year. This was a surprise to me. But I get it. I get it. Can Kirk Cousins stay healthy? Are they going to stick with him after 2024? Because in 2025, that dead money is 12 million. And they're preparing for the future. They're looking at Michael Penix and saying, all right, man, can he be the guy to take Drake London to the next level once Kirk Cousins is done? Can he be the guy to elevate Kyle Pitts? Did we find a guy to run this division for a while? Because when you look at the division, you got Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I feel like is going to play out his contract, then he'll probably be done. Who's the quarterback for New Orleans right now? Goodness gracious. Derek Carr. Derek Carr, he's on his way out. And then you have Bryce Young and now Kirk Cousins with Atlanta. This is just being super ready. This is going to the beach and having three or four towels and bringing your snacks and just sitting there and waiting for things to go down.
This is when people, you see like the stocked up fridge things or bathrooms on Pinterest or Instagram, and you see people that have like five things of shampoo and you're like, you don't need that much.
Yeah.
But they like the idea of looking like they have a mini mart in their bathroom. From the 209, there were lots of national reports this week that Atlanta liked Penix, not a big shock. I think it's okay to admit when something was surprising, and we do this thing collectively as sports fans when we go like, oh, I saw that coming. I'm not surprised. Guess what? They spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins, and they were one of the worst pass rushing teams in football, and the best edge rusher in the class was available for them at pick number 8. It's okay to be a little surprised that they decided to go with not a position of need in any way. And it doesn't matter that Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles and is in his 30s. They gave him money. They were clearly confident that he would be just fine, or they would not have brought him in as one of the top paid free agents in the class.
I wonder what the scout department said to influence this pick. Are they looking a couple of years down the line and saying,
yes,
the
absolutely.
Quarterbacks that are out there aren't really going to be shaken up or up to par by the time we're ready to pick? Let's go ahead and get in front of this and draft Michael Penix. I think this is one of the best quarterback groups we've seen in a while. 1 through 6. I think all these guys are going to play, and some are in better situations than others. I'll talk about that during four down territory. But this is just getting ready. Grandma said, get ready, stay ready, so you ain't got to get ready. That is the Atlanta Falcons theme song model for the offseason.
From the 206, Russell Wilson was 23, almost 24, on his way to 30, as Bump says. How did that work out? Bump said that when Penix starts in 2 years, he'll be 26, 27.
Come on.
But also
math.
Importantly, when Russell Wilson was drafted, by the time he was a second and third year player, he was on a defense, on a team with one of the best defenses in football, and eventually the best defense in football, and one of the best defenses we've seen in the last 15 years. Michael Penix, and for that matter, Kirk Cousins, are not. They are on a team with a lot of offensive weapons that can't find a way to become a consistent playoff team because that defense has so many holes. They badly needed to address the defense. And you can say, look, quarterback is the most important position. You need to make sure you're stocked up there. Why not take the approach that Kansas City did when they had Alex Smith and drafted Patrick Mahomes, or when the Packers had Aaron Rodgers and drafted Jordan Love? And I can see that argument. And I actually think that more often than not, that's how teams should approach it. Take your quarterback and let him sit. Don't rush him into a situation right away. However, a good point from Mina Kimes this morning.
If you think you're going to be good, which is why you pay Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed, you're doing your team a disservice by not making your team better so that you can compete now. Offensively, they're set. Defensively, they haven't had a solid pass rushing option since, frankly, John Abraham. They finished 32nd in ESPN's pass rush win rate last year. In this draft, you have an opportunity to either take the best edge rusher available or trade down and take multiple shots on goal. They did neither of those things.
So if you come out and say you're a team, Bump, that's building for the future, and then you take Michael Penix, it makes sense. If you say we're a team that wants to win now and we think we can win a Super Bowl this year, then leaving your defense as the worst pass rushing unit in football is weird.
Maybe there's a guy out there that they like, that they feel like they're going to get later.
Maybe.
Again, like we don't, just because we don't agree with what they're doing doesn't mean we completely understand what they're doing.
Oh, of course.
We can make assumptions and say, all right, well, they're stashing Michael Penix, and it's our job to kind of create these scenarios and throw them out there and see what is exactly true. But because of this pick, it does seem a bit irresponsible because there's some things you need to do on defense. But because they made that pick, it leads me to believe they're going to stash Michael Penix for a couple years. And there's probably some guys on defense that that they feel can come in and play right now. So you're leaning on your scouting department in this whole situation right here. We'll see if it works out for them. Either way, I'm happy for Michael Penix. I'm glad he went in the top 10.
Do you like that spot for him? Because we had talked about the Raiders as being the likeliest spot, mm-hmm. and you said, I can see the argument for him not only going to the Raiders, but also for that working. He has weapons, but it is kind of a weird spot. Do you like Atlanta as a landing spot for Michael Penix?
I am all for letting quarterbacks sit. Therefore, I'm good with him going to Atlanta.
All right. The biggest story from the draft, not named Michael Penix. That's what we're talking about next. And then after that, we're taking your calls. So get ready to call in with what the Seahawks should do next. What do you want to see this team do next? They have picks today. Well, one pick today, I think, but you never know with this team. They're always moving around. What should they do next? 866-979-3776. That's coming up at 11. Don't go anywhere.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Seattle Sports. 7:10 a.m. on your radio, streaming through the Seattle Sports app. Get new videos, podcasts, and articles on the Seahawks and Mariners from your favorite Seattle sports personalities daily. Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
What do you want to see the Seahawks do next? Get ready to call in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Congratulations, you're Seahawks GM. What's your next move? Let us know. I have mine. Even though they say never let them know your next move, in this case, we would very much like to know. That number is going to be 866-979-3776. Right now, we're talking about the biggest stories not named Michael Penix. I'm going to stick with quarterback for the first one here, Bump. Yes, Penix going at number 8 to Atlanta was the big story from the draft night one. But how about Bo Nix going to Denver?
Yeah, I like that. I'm scared for him, though.
Because Denver's had a horrible track record with quarterbacks not named Peyton Manning or John Elway.
Because Sean Payton over there tripping, man. You got to nurture Bo Nix. Sean Payton, I feel like, and now his mind, he knows the game of football. He's had a lot of success. He's won a Super Bowl. He has constructed an offense with Drew Brees that seemed like it was impossible to stop. But just seeing the way that he treated Russell Wilson, I almost feel like, you know, actually this might be good for him because this might be his own child. You know, Sean Payton probably felt like a stepdad. Like, I don't want this kid.
Whoa,
this kid?
Hey,
he's 17.
All love to stepdads.
You need to go graduate and go to college already. Get out of my house. I want to start my own family. That's what it felt like. It felt like a jacked up Tyler Perry movie over there with Sean Payton the way he's treating Russell Wilson. So now he's got his own child and maybe he's going to nurture and develop him. That's the only reason why I'm nervous for Bo Nix. I don't know how Sean is going to communicate with him. I would assume he's going to be softer on a younger man who's having his first go in the NFL. But no, I'm happy for Bo because I felt like Bo should have been drafted in the first round, and seeing him mocked late in the first or even into the second with Michael Penix was disrespectful to me. So I'm happy for Bo Nix, man. And the knock on Bo Nix is that they say he doesn't push the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Joey Harrington here eventually, Joey Harrington. And last time he was on, he told us, look, he does push the ball down the field. But when you look at Bo Nix's play, people doubt him because he just ran the offense so efficiently. If it is quarters coverage and my running back has the outside linebacker out leverage on a swing, I'm going to make the easy throw. If my offensive coordinator calls a smoke screen, I'm just going to let the football go. If there is a mesh concept and there's a blitz and the mic and the will go in the middle of the field is open 5 yards down the field, I'm just going to let the ball go. Bo Nix ran that offense efficiently. And because he did that and the offense looks different than a Michael Penix's offense where you're throwing the football down the field, people were knocking him. So now that he's no longer a duck, yes, he was a duck, I can show him a bit more love. I'm like, look, he just ran the heck out of that mm-hmm. offense, and he's been knocked for it.
I do know, obviously, the Raiders were quarterback needy and drafting after Denver. I just wonder if Denver needed to take Bo Nix there or if they could have traded back and still gotten Nix, who was projected to go either late in the first or in the second round. Obviously, a run on quarterbacks ahead of that changes things. The next story I have, Daniel Jones, quarterback already in the NFL, when the Giants chose at number 6, getting a weapon instead of competition.
Ooh, I know he was relieved. I know he was sitting there at the house. We already got the video of him eyes wide open, just sitting there nervous, seeing what they're going to do. And this could do so much for Daniel Jones, I think, mentally, because he's sitting there questioning his relationship with the organization. Do they really love me? Do they really want me? You got Drew Lock over here trying to take my job. They might draft a quarterback, but they go out and they get him one of the best receivers in this draft. So I'm happy for Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. man, because being in a place of uncertainty at that quarterback position when you just been paid and you thought you're going to be the guy, you can be blindsided like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was blindsided.
Yeah.
He had no idea that was coming. At least with Daniel Jones, he was preparing himself for that just in case. But yeah, it worked out for him, and he got himself a really good receiver.
I saw a great tweet of someone saying Kirk Cousins is somewhere at a Kohl's in Atlanta walking around whispering golly at an indoor voice and apologizing profusely to managers. It was very funny. The next story I have to me outside of an individual name was the big story. Prior to this year, the most consecutive offensive players to start a draft was 7. This year it was 14 before the Colts at 15 took Leatu Latu, leaving all but one defensive player available to Seattle. They go with Byron Murphy II. The run on offensive players to me was the next big story in this draft.
Yeah, that was. What does it say about the NFL? It says that they're placing more value on offensive players. And why are they doing that? It's because of the way the game is played these days. I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume late 90s, early 2000s, there were a whole bunch of defensive players being taken early because a defense can literally beat you up. That's just not the way the game is played anymore. There's more emphasis on offensive guys, especially that offensive line. I believe there were like 7 to 8 offensive tackles taken in the. I mean, it's crazy the run that we saw on offense. But I think that just reflects where the game is today. Mm-hmm. It's an offensive game these days.
Yeah, I agree. And you can get more immediate impact on offense in theory. Like, yes, you can draft Devin Witherspoon and have him be really impactful. But I mean, there's nothing like getting a wide receiver and seeing the impact that someone like Jamar Chase has been able to have immediately with your quarterback, or drafting a quarterback and seeing the immediate turnaround you can have with there. I'll use the Bengals as the exact same situation, minus obviously Joe Burrow's first year when he tore his ACL. Next up, I have just overall a lack of trades. We all wondered if you weren't for it, but if the New England Patriots would trade back from 3, if perhaps the Chargers would trade back from 5. The Vikings were the only team to trade into the top 10, and it was swapping up one spot with the Jets.
Yeah,
this to me was notable.
That's what should have happened, honestly. The idea of New England, who does not have a franchise quarterback with the number three pick, even entertaining moving back, was crazy to me. The one that made sense to me, the most sense to me, I felt like, would be the Chargers at number five, maybe even the Cardinals at number four, if they felt like there was an equivalent receiver to Marvin Harrison. But that was a spot where I was looking at, all right, there might be a trade there. But I think everyone assumed that the Vikings were going to move up. It's just how far were they going to move up? And I think everyone assumed that they were going to get a quarterback, mm-hmm. and they ended up getting J.J. McCarthy. But no, I kind of liked that there wasn't too much going on. I think out of the top five picks, the one that kind of threw me off a little bit, I would say, would be the Chargers, because I thought they would go out and get themselves a receiver because you don't have any over there.
Right.
But you got to protect Justin Herbert, and so getting Joe Alt made sense.
And what's really interesting about this class as we're looking into the second round, wondering what the Seahawks might do, is that there are very, very good corners and receivers available. You don't particularly need either of those spots. You could use an interior offensive lineman. But it's a very interesting start to round two here. I wonder if there's going to be a run on either of those positions.
Yeah. I mean, you got the Bills with the number one pick in the second round.
Sorry, go ahead. And then I want to throw this to you before we break.
The Bills are going to go. Oh, you got me all jacked up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just need to know. I cannot believe I didn't talk to you about this. I have not even said it before we started.
What's that?
The Buffalo Bills trading their pick to the Kansas City Chiefs and allowing Patrick Mahomes to get a new weapon.
Mm-hmm.
What I am waiting for, Michael Bumpus, is for that to cost them in a game. Why? Why? The number one thing that the Kansas City Chiefs badly needed was a wide receiver.
Yep.
And the Bills, a team that is not once, not twice, but thrice been bested by them in important moments, was like, hey, we got you. We got you covered. Well, bro, don't worry about it.
What do the Bills need right now?
The Bills need a wide receiver.
They need a wide receiver.
I cannot for the life of me understand that.
No, I don't get it either. I don't know what they got out of it. I'm sure they got something on the back end that, I guess, made it.
Well, then they traded down again with Carolina.
I can't believe I forgot to bring that up to you. Okay, Bump, what do you think?
Buffalo was the first pick today.
I think you never help the enemy, and that's exactly what they did.
I was shocked.
I don't know what they're thinking. Let's see what they do today.
I just was absolutely shocked by that. It was like laugh out loud funny. And again, I'm not a GM. The Bills have been more competitive more recently than Seattle. So who am I to point at them going, what are you doing? But that was a what are you doing moment, if ever there was one. I'd forgotten to write that down on the show sheet for our big stories from the draft. So that's my last one. All right, get ready to call in because that's coming up next. What do you want to see the Seahawks do on day two of the NFL draft? 866-979-3776. You don't have to limit your answer to any one particular thing. If you want to see them make a trade up, maybe that's your answer. If you want to see them get a tight end, if you want to see them get a guard, if you want to see them get the more of the best player available, if you want to see them trade a player they already have, be creative if you want to. Keep it simple if you want to. We are leaving this wide open. What do you want to see the Seahawks do next? 866-979-3776. Call now.